Beyond presents Spoilers for The Tragedy of Dido, Queen of Carthage by Christopher Marlowe and Thomas Nash. Discuss. Today we're looking at Act 5 in detail, following are some introductory notes intercut with a rough mix of our recording of the play. The same plain text edit will then follow for those who want to hear the text without interruptions. It was produced at the White Bear Theatre as part of our 2023 Revel season. There will be a better final cut, which will follow this release. As a live recording, there are minor errors created in the heat of the dramatic moment. If you want to just enjoy our production, stop listening now and wait for the release. Or if you're listening in the future, look for the episode further up the podcast list. Seriously, this is an exercise that some listeners won't enjoy. If it ain't for you, move on. But if you're still listening, let's enter spoiler land. I am the god of hellfire, and I bring you spoilers. Act 5, and the temperature is rising. Do check the show description for other kinds of spoilers, those content warnings, for this is a play about self-destruction, and we've reached the Death Act. Act 5 is a long, continuous scene. Not long in, as in it's actually very long, but long for this play, in that it is one scene for an act. And it's a series of moves which get us to the terrible climax. So, Act 5... let's call it scene one. There's no scene two, so it seems somewhat redundant. Enter Aeneas with a paper in his hand, drawing the platform of the city. Achates, Segestus, Cloanthus, and Ilioneus also are there. So Aeneas has completely given up any thought of leaving. He's laying out a building program. One kind of thinks he's just trying to keep himself busy. And his mates are... I mean, are they humouring him, happy to be doing something? I mean, they are such yes-men half the time. They just echo whatever their commander wants. Does no one have an opinion of their own? No? Okay, let's brainstorm some new city names.
Triumph, my mates. Our travels are at an end. Hooray! Here will Aeneas build a statelier Troy than that which grim Atrides overthrew. Carthage shall vaunt her petty walls no more. For I will grace them with a fairer frame, and clad her in a crystal livery, wherein the day may evermore delight. From golden India Ganges will I fetch, whose wealthy streams may wait upon her towers, and triple-wise entrench her round about. The sun from Egypt shall rich odours bring, wherewith his burning beams, like labouring bees that load their thighs with Hybla's honey spoils, shall here unburden their exhaled sweets and plant our pleasant suburbs with their fumes.
What length or breadth shall this brave town contain?
Not past 4,000 paces at the most.
But what shall it be called? Troy, as before?
That I have not determined with myself.
Let it be termed Aenea, by your name.
Rather, Ascania, by your little son.
Nay, I will have it called Anchisian, of my old father's name.
How about Carthage? He really can't set aside the whole colonialist enterprise, can he? Anyway, enough of this busy work. Enter a god to f*** with his day. Enter Hermes with Ascanius. I bring you the hostage and a reminder of the mission statement.
Aeneas! Stay! Jove's herald bids thee stay.
Whom do I see? Jove's winged messenger, welcome to Carthage's new erected town.
Why, cousin, stand you building cities here and beautifying the empire of this queen while Italy is clean out of thy mind? Too forgetful of thy own affairs, why wilt thou so betray thy son's good hap? The king of gods sent me from highest heaven to sound this angry message in thine ears. Vain man, what monarchy expects thou here? Or with what thought sleep'st thou in Libya shore? If that all glory hath forsaken thee, and thou despise the praise of such attempts, yet think upon Ascanius' prophecy, and young Iulus more than 1,000 years, whom I have brought from Ida, where he slept, and bore young Cupid unto Cyprus Isle.
Aeneas now understands the plot of the play, And he doesn't seem all that fussed about having his entire life controlled by the gods.
This was my mother that beguiled the queen and made me take my brother for my son. No marvel, Dido, that thou be in love, that daily dandlest Cupid in thine arms. Sweet child, welcome. Where hast thou been this long?
Eating sweet comfits with Queen Dido's maid, who ever since hath lulled me in her arms.
Sergestus, bear him hence into our ships, lest Dido, spying him, keep him for a pledge.
Exit Sergestus with Ascanius, and Hermes gets to click his fingers and go, oi, oi, no, 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 focus, mate, focus, didn't you hear me?
Spend'st thou thy time about this little boy, and giv'st not ear unto the charge I bring, I tell thee, thou must straight to Italy, or else abide the wrath of frowning Jove.
Exit Hermes, who has returned the boy, but hasn't solved the whole no sails on our ships issue.
How should I put into the raging deep, who have no sails nor tackling for my ships? What, would the gods have me Delusian-like float up and down where'er the billows drive? Though she repaired my fleet and gave me ships, yet hath she torn away my oars and masts and left me neither sail nor stern aboard.
Did someone ask for a plot device? Enter Iarbas, who's rather glad to see Aeneas a tad put out.
How now, Aeneas? Sad? What means these dumps?
Iarbas, I am clean besides myself. Jove hath heaped on me such a desperate charge which neither art nor reason may achieve, nor I devise by what means to contrive.
As how, I pray. May I entreat you tell?
With speed he bids me sail to Italy, whenas I want both rigging for my fleet and also furniture for these my men.
If that be all, then cheer thy drooping looks, for I will furnish thee with such supplies. Let some of those thy followers go with me, and they shall have what things soe'er thou needst.
Thanks, good Iarbas, for thy friendly aid. Achates and the rest shall wait on thee, whilst I rest thankful for this courtesy.
Iarbas is, of course, delighted to help. Oh, you want a f***? Oh, let me help you with that. Exeunt all except Aeneas, who has to vamp for as long as it seems plausible to rig a ship. He is quite eager to go, which is awkward as Dido comes back.
Now will I haste unto Lavinian shore and raise new foundation to old Troy. Witness the gods, witness heaven and earth, how loath I am to leave these Libyan bounds, but that eternal Jupiter commands.
I fear I saw Aeneas' little son led by Achates to the Trojan fleet. If it be so, his father means to fly. But here he is. Now, Dido, try thy wit.
Dido has seen that she's lost her hostage, and so has to try and convince him to stay on merit. Considering she has kidnapped his son, I mean, she might have lost the moral high ground here in the land of moral limbo dancing. Her casual question gets a blunt reply from Aeneas, which she refuses to believe.
Aeneas, wherefore go thy men abroad? Why are thy ships new rigged, or to what end, launched from the haven, lie they in the road? Pardon me, though I ask, love makes me ask.
Oh, pardon me, if I resolve thee why. Aeneas will not feign with his dear love. I must from hence. This day, swift Mercury, when I was laying a platform for these walls, sent from his father Jove, appeared to me, and in his name rebuked me bitterly for lingering here, neglecting Italy.
But Aeneas will not leave his love.
I am commanded by immortal Jove to leave this town and pass to Italy, therefore I must, of course.
These words proceed not from Aeneas' heart.
Not from my heart, for I can hardly go. And yet I may not stay. Dido, farewell.
It took a few goes, but finally Dido gets it. And she also calls bullshit on Aeneas' claims to be torn. Oh, you're all torn! And the best you can say is, oh, farewell. And we can be charitable to Aeneas with all the mitigation we've given him throughout the play, but yeah, he's running away and he feels bad because he got caught. And she isn't going to let him run away that easily.
Farewell! Is this the men's for Dido's love? Do Trojans used to quit their lovers thus? Farewell, may Dido, so Aeneas stay. I die if my Aeneas say farewell.
Then let me go and never say farewell. Let me go. Farewell, I must from hence.
These words are poison to poor Dido's soul. Oh, speaks my Aeneas like my love? Why lookest thou towards the sea? The time hath been when Dido's beauty chained thine eyes to hers. Am I less fair than when thou sawst me first? Oh, then, Aeneas, 'tis for grief of thee. Say thou wilt stay in Carthage with thy queen, and Dido's beauty will return again. Aeneas, say, how canst thou take thy leave? Wilt thou kiss Dido? Oh, thy lips have sworn to stay with Dido. Canst thou take her hand? Thy hand and mine have plighted mutual faith. Therefore, unkind Aeneas, must thou say, then let me go and never say farewell.
The other thing Aeneas could say here is, you've been roofied. He now knows, of course, that Dido's obsession isn't natural. It's the effects of the gods on her. He could tell her. No. I mean, and maybe this is why he isn't so fussed about leaving now. It's not real. But no. He continues with the, I would stay if I could. He doesn't even offer for them to elope. She's that loved up, she'd probably say yes. Now, those who know the text will notice something missing in the next sequence. As mentioned last episode, the question of race in relation to Dido and the ruling dynasty in the play seems to be framed as white, as a ruling relete who are above a darker-skinned populace. Recorded separately, Aeneas' next line lands very nastily, so we didn't perform it live. Recorded separately, it is,
Wert thou ugly black?
Which we cut in the actual show. It just about works as a cut. Or you can keep it if you work with your company on what you are doing with race in the play. How you are casting the primary roles will change the meaning of the text. I mean, there's no such thing as colourblind casting. And that then slants how implicit and explicit racialized language in the play functions. Are all the elite characters colonizers, or is it just Aeneas? And where does that place a character like Iarbas within that framework? Returning to the moment, Aeneas's point, however awfully phrased, is that the gods have ordered it. And Dido goes, what did I do to piss off the gods? And she tries to draw him back to her with their own special love language, possibly of the cave. Yes, they slip into Latin, straight out of Virgil.
Queen of Carthage, Aeneas could not choose but hold thee dear, yet must he not gainsay the gods' behest?
The gods? What gods be those that seek my death? Wherein have I offended Jupiter, that he should take Aeneas from mine arms? Oh, no, the gods weigh not what lovers do. It is Aeneas calls Aeneas hence, and woeful Dido by these blubbered cheeks, by this right hand and bile, our spousal rites, desires Aeneas to remain with her. Si bene, quid de te merue, fuit aut tibe quodquam duce meo misere domus lebentis et istam. Oro, si quis ad hoc precubus, locus exue mentum.
Desine meque tuis incendere teque querulis. Italium non sponte sequo.
I'm sad face about you going. I'm sad face too, cause I gotta go. Dido slips back into English. You leave me now? Have you any idea how much shit I took for choosing you? My reputation is fucked. Which is a point we haven't really touched on yet. In the early modern period, and to a lesser extent still today, the reputation of chastity in women prior to marriage was socially policed and could not be regained once lost. Her value as a queen to marry for political gain, is reduced by their affair. Her reputation is that of Helen. And remember what happened there.
Hast thou forgot how many neighbour kings were up in arms for making thee my love? How Carthage did rebel, Iarbas storm, and all the world calls me a second Helen for being entangled by a stranger's looks, so thou wast prove as true as Paris did. Would as fair Troy was, Carthage might be sacked, and I be called a second Helena. Had I a son by thee, the grief were less, for I might see Aeneas in his face. Now if thou goest, what canst thou leave behind, but rather would augment with ease my woes?
In vain, my love, thou spend'st thy fainting breath. If words might move me, I were overcome.
And those are Aeneas' last words of the play. He doesn't leave straight away. In fact, we don't know absolutely when he leaves. At some point in Dido's invective, he does leave. And she lets rip.
And wilt thou not be moved with Dido's words? Thy mother was no goddess, perjured man, nor Dandarus the author of thy stock. But thou art sprung from Sicyon Caucasus, and tigers of Hyrcania gave thee circa. Foolish Dido, to forbear this long. Wast thou not wrecked upon this Libyan shore, and camest thou to Dido like a fisher swain? Repaired not I thy ships, made thee a king, and all thy needy followers noblemen? Oh, serpent, that came creeping from the shore, and I for pity harboured in my bosom. Wilt thou not slay me with a venom sting, and hiss at Dido for preserving thee? Go, go, spare not, seek out Italy! I hope that which love forbids me do, the rocks and seagulls will perform at large, and thou shalt perish in the billows' waves, to whom poor Dido doth bequeath revenge. Ay, traitor, and the waves will cast thee up where thou and false Achates first set foot, which, if ye chance, I'll give ye burial and weep upon your lifeless carcasses, though thou nor he will pity me a whit. Why starest thou in my face? If thou wilt stay, leap in mine arms, my arms are open wide. If not, turn from me, and I will turn from thee. For though thou hast the heart to say farewell, I have not the power to stay thee.
Aeneas has either already left, and she notices, or he leaves. Here. Play in your own time. Dido is left alone, and she watches him. Perhaps hears some cries from the crew as he reaches his ship. How much of this is real and imagined? Echoing the opening of Act Two, when Aeneas sees the ruin of Troy in the walls of Carthage, everyone is haunted by might-have-beens and what they wished happened.
Is he gone? Aye, but he'll come again. He cannot go. He loves me too well to serve me so. Yet he that in my sight would not relent, will being absent be abjurate still. Of this has he got to the waterside, and see, the sailor's taken by the hand. But he shrinks back, and now remembering me, returns amain. Welcome, welcome, my love! But where's Aeneas? Oh, he's gone!
Enter Anna, clearly worried by Dido's state. She tries to side with her sister against Aeneas, whose exit is not good for her own hopes.
What means my sister thus to rave and cry?
Oh, Anna, my Aeneas is aboard, and leaving me will sail to Italy. Once didst thou go, and he came back again. Now bring him back, and thou shalt be a queen, and I will live a private life with him.
Wicked Aeneas.
Call him not wicked, Anna. Sister, speak him fair, and look upon him with a mermaid's eye. Tell him I never vowed at Aulis Gaul for desolation of his native Troy, nor sent 1,000 ships unto the walls, nor ever violated faith to him. Request him gently, Anna, to return. I crave but this, he stay a tide or two, that I may learn to bear it patiently. If he depart thus suddenly, I die. Run, Anna, run! Stay not to answer
me! I go, fair sister, heavens grant good success.
Exit Anna to try and stop Aeneas, at which point the nurse from the end of Act 4 enters. Her little, sweet, disturbing, amusing, odd scene is set up for this moment. The Ascanius changeling, Cupid in disguise, has vanished, and Dido, without Aeneas present to blame, turns all her ire on the nurse. It's unjust and brutal.
Oh, Dido! Your little son Ascanius is gone. He lay with me last night, and in the morning he was stolen from me. I think some fairies have beguiled me.
Oh, cursed hag and false dissembling wretch! Thou slayest with me this harsh and hellish tale. Thou for some petty gift hast let him go, and I am thus deluded for my boy. Away with her! To prison presently! Traitorous, to kend and cursed sorceress!
I know not what you mean by treason, I am as true as any one of yours!
Away with her! Suffer her not to speak!
Exit nurse with attendants. A case of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. No one from Carthage gets a good ending in this play, except possibly First Lord. He presumably cleans up when everybody's dead. Anyway, this is the payoff of that earlier scene. Enter Anna, and it's not good. Anna's speech here is very much modelled on neoclassical tragedy. Enter messenger who semi-enacts the telling of doom.
My sister comes. I like not her sad looks.
Before I came, Aeneas was aboard, and spying me, hoist up the sails, amen. But I cried out, Aeneas, false Aeneas, stay. Then gan he wag his hand, which yet held up, made me suppose he would have heard me speak. Then gan they drive into the ocean, which when I viewed, I cried, Aeneas, stay. Dido, fair Dido, wills Aeneas stay. Yet he, whose heart of adamant or flint, my tears nor plaints could mollify or wit. Then carelessly I rent my hair for grief, which seemed to all, though he behold me not, they gan to move him to redress my ruth, and stay a while to hear what I could say. But he, clapped under hatches, sailed away.
Dido still wants to follow him, but they've taken all the boats. And Dido starts flying into a flight of fancy about, well, flying. The love curse of Cupid, now that the object of obsession is gone, starts to tear her apart.
Anna, I will follow him.
How can you go when he hath all your fleet?
I'll frame me wings of wax like Icarus, and o'er his ships will soar into the sun, that they may melt and I fall in his arms. Or else I'll make a prayer unto the waves, that I may swim to him like Triton's niece. Oh, Anna, Anna, fetch Orion's harp, that I may tice a dolphin to the shore and ride upon his back into my love. Look, sister, look, lovely Aeneas' ship. See, see the billows heave him up to heaven, and now down falls and keels to the deep. Oh, sister, sister, take away the rocks, they'll break his ships. Oh, Proteus. Neptune, Jove, save, save Aeneas, Dido's lifeless love. Now is he come to shore, safe without hurt. But see, Achates wills him put to sea, and all the sailors merry make for joy. But he, remembering me, shrinks back again. See where he comes. Welcome, welcome, my love.
Oh, sister, leave these idle fantasies. Sweet sister, cease. Remember who you are.
Anna seems to pull Dido back to reality again, but only to the necessity of ending this pain that she feels. Dido tells the audience what she intends, and tells Anna a covering lie.
Dido I am. Unless I be deceived. And must I rave thus for a renegade? Must I make ships for him to sail away? Nothing can bear me to him but a ship, and he hath all my fleet. What shall I do? But die in fury for this oversight. I must be the murderer of myself. No, but I am not. Yet I will be straight. Anna, be glad. Now have I found a means to rid me from these thoughts of lunacy. Not far from hence, there is a woman famoused for arts, daughter unto the nymphs Hesephrodes, who willed me sacrifices, ticing relics. Go, Anna. Bid my servants bring me fire.
Exit Anna to bring fire. Now, we should pause here to ask about this fire, because you do need to know what you're going to do with this before you start staging the play. Now, it doesn't have to be a fully literal fire or a massive expensive spectacle. You can find ways to get the impact with, you know, lights and smoke and a really good scream. However, if you are spending money, this is probably where it goes. A trapdoor would help. Meanwhile, enter Iarbas, who's impatient that she isn't already over Aeneas. I mean, dude, give her 5 minutes. As they speak, we have an inferred stage direction of attendants bringing wood and torches, etc.
How long, Dido, mourn a stranger's flight that hath dishonoured her and Carthage both? How long shall I with grief consume my days and reap no guerdon for my truest love?
Iarbas, talk not of Aeneas, let him go. Lay to thy hands, and help me make a fire that shall consume all that this stranger left, for I intend a private sacrifice to cure my mind that melts for unkind love.
But afterwards, will Dido grant me love?
Aye, Iarbas, after this is done, none in the world shall have my love but thou.
Do they now spend 5 minutes building the pyre? I mean, it sounds like Iarbas is persuaded to unwittingly help construct her funeral pyre. And it's almost like the action just pauses while they build the thing rather than it's happening underneath dialogue. So I don't know how long this takes to build the fire. Again, really think about what you're doing with the fire. She, of course, says the fire is just to burn all Aeneas' stuff. You know what it's like after a breakup. But this moment could, on stage, take a while.
So leave me now. Let none approach this place.
Exeunt Iarbas and attendants. And now Dido is going to open that shoebox of old letters and bits and bobs that she's kept and gets rid of them.
Now, Dido, with these relics burn thyself and make Aeneas famous through the world for perjury and slaughter of a queen. Here lie the sword that on the darksome cave he drew and swore by to be true to me. Thou shalt burn first. Thy crime is worse than his. Here lie the garment which I clothed him in. When first he came to shore, oh, perish thou too. These letters, lines, and perjured papers all shall burn to cinders in this precious flame.
All of which is actually not unhealthy after a bad breakup, and this act of casting the objects suggests that the action is upstage of a trap, from which smoke and some fire effect might come. I'm sure you can come up with other options, depending on your space. And now, having burnt the small stuff, the final act ending with some Latin, their love language warped. Let all Aeneas' touches and his descendants wage unending war upon themselves.
And now, ye gods, that guide the starry frame and order all things at your high dispose, grant thou the traitor's land in Italy that may be still tormented with unrest, and for mine ashes let a conqueror rise that may revenge this treason to a queen by ploughing up his countries with the sword. Betwixt this land and this be never leagued. Libortura, libortoris controra, fructibus undus, imprecor, arma armis, pungent episce nepetus. Live. False Aeneas, truest Dido dies. Seek uvat ire sub umbra!
And with a final line of joy to enter the dark, she throws herself into the flames. Or into a trap. Or what? You decide. Enter Anna to state the obvious, in case the stage effect is a bit flat.
Dido in these flames hath burnt herself. Ay me, unhappy me.
Enter Iarbas, running.
Cursed Iarbas, die to expiate the grief that tires upon thine inward soul. Dido, I come to thee.
Stabs himself and dies.
Ay me. Aeneas!
I mean, he didn't hang around, and neither, to be fair, will Anna, who probably uses Iarbas' dagger to stab herself too.
What can my tears or cries prevail me now? Dido is dead. Iarbas slain, Iarbas, my dear love. Oh, sweet Iarbas, Anna's sole delight. What fatal destiny envies me thus to see my sweet Iarbas slay himself? But Anna,
now shall honour thee in death, and mix her blood with thine. This shall I do, that gods and men may pity this my death, and rue our end, senseless of life or breath. Now, sweet Iarbas, stay. I come to thee.
And dies. And I say, we don't know precisely how any of them die. It is not clear. We just know that they kill themselves in some fashion. And thus, the play ends. No recorded epilogue survives. So the ending is a bit tricky, for a number of reasons. One, you have to stage a self-immolation effectively and horrifically. Two, you have two very brief domino suicides of characters who have only been slightly sketched out and whose end might seem a tad pathetic rather than affecting. It is telling that when the BBC did a radio adaptation in the 90s, they cut the Anna and Iarbas parts to basics, removing her unrequited love and ending with Dido's death and no additional suicides at all. Now, I don't think you should go that far, but I do acknowledge that making this ending land is difficult and needs attention in the staging. In a way, this is more brutal than many revenge tragedies by a sort of pseudo-body count standards, because ignoring the nurse in prison, who might be dead, and the First Lord, who only has two lines, all the named characters in the play are now either dead or far, far away. Everybody's gone. Blackout. So, to recap, this is a very stageable play. It does have some big challenges, but it has the relative advantage of shortness, scalable cast size, there's some room to elide and double many elements, and a complexity to play with regarding agency and the central relationship, which is really interesting. So, you know, do it. You know you want to. And that's it from this spoilers episode of Act 5 for Dido. If you have any thoughts about my brief breakdown of the text, or if you have any disagreements with my thoughts, or if I'm in plain error, let me know. I might re-edit based on your thoughts, or not. Much more plausibly, actually, is we do a follow-up at some point to play with some of the elements that I haven't talked about. This is, as I say, there is a complexity to this play where there's huge amounts that could be explored. And as ever with these spoilers episodes, I have been mostly focusing on the practicalities, though some of those are about what characters are doing internally and what the sort of guiding motivations for actors. A lot of this is just nuts and bolts stuff about what needs to change, what staging issues there are in place. So, but I don't pretend to have covered everything at all. This has already extended far longer than I originally intended to do this. So I'm sure there's lots to be said additionally. So I suspect I wouldn't re-edit unless I'm overtly wrong about something. But I could definitely see follow-ups on spoilers on this play. In a moment, you will hear the rough-cut plain text uninterrupted. But if you'd like more on this play, there are exploring sessions galore on the YouTube. Links in the show description. The full cast audio adaptation edit of this will follow very soon, so keep an ear out. The recording used throughout this episode is a live mix of the performed play. It's a rough mix, focuses at the moment on the text as writ, as I'm just working through it and correcting errors and tidying it up. So the final release will be cleaner and a more entertaining listen. It may also have more cuts. In the version used throughout this recording, the cast was as follows. Sojourner Hazelwood Connell was Dido. Kit Maguire, Aeneas. Karim Cromfley, Iarbas. Alex Capilla, Anna. Lindsay Beecham, Ilioneus. Sarah Blake, Nurse. Keith Hill, Achates. Alexandra Kataguida, Cloanthus. Liza Graham, Hermes. Pamela Flanagan, Ascanius. Simon Nader, Segestus. And you may be able to hear at moments in the background some of the live music by Raw Fox, which sadly didn't make it fully onto the recording. And apologies there that probably won't make it into the final edit either. That's for purely technical reasons because of the way we recorded it. Also, many thanks to Valentina Vinci, who was the technical operator for the live show. And the producer for all this was myself, Robert Crichton. And now I leave you with the rough cut of Act 5 of Dido, Queen of Carthage, by Christopher Marlowe and Thomas Nash. Enjoy.
Triumph, my mates. Our travels are at an end. Hooray! Here will Aeneas build a statelier Troy than that which grim Atrides overthrew. Carthage shall vaunt her petty walls no more, for I will grace them with a fairer frame and clad her in a crystal livery, wherein the day may evermore delight. From golden India Ganges will I fetch, whose wealthy streams may wait upon her towers and triple-wise entrench her roundabout. The sun from Egypt shall rich odours bring, wherewith his burning beams, like labouring bees that load their thighs with Hybla's honey spoils, shall here unburden their exhaled sweets and plant our pleasant suburbs with their fumes.
What length or breadth shall this brave town contain?
Not past 4,000 paces at the most.
But what shall it be called? Troy, as before?
That I have not determined with myself.
Let it be termed Aenea, by your name.
Rather, Ascania, by your little son.
Nay, I will have it called Anchisian, of my old father's name.
Aeneas, stay. Jove's herald bids thee stay.
Whom do I see? Jove's winged messenger, welcome to Carthage's new erected town.
Why, cousin, stand you building cities here and beautifying the empire of this queen while Italy is clean out of thy mind? Too forgetful of thy own affairs, why wilt thou so betray thy son's good hap? The king of gods sent me from highest heaven to sound this angry message in thine ears. Vain man, what monarchy expects thou here? Or with what thought sleepst thou in Libya shore? If that all glory hath forsaken thee, and thou despise the praise of such attempts, yet think upon Ascanius' prophecy, and young Iulus more than 1,000 years, whom I have brought from Ida, where he slept, and bore young Cupid unto Cyprus Isle.
Oh, this was my mother that beguiled the queen, and made me take my brother for my son. No marvel, Dido, that thou be in love, that daily dandlest Cupid in thine arms. Sweet child, welcome. Where hast thou been this long?
Eating sweet comfits with Queen Dido's maid, who ever since hath lulled me in her arms.
Sergestus, bear him hence into our ships, lest Dido, spying him, keep him for a pledge.
Spend'st thou thy time about this little boy, and givest not ear unto the charge I bring. I tell thee, thou must straight to Italy, or else abide the wrath of frowning Jove.
How should I put into the raging deep, who have no sails nor tackling for my ships? What, would the gods have me Delusian-like float up and down where'er the billows drive? Though she repaired my fleet and gave me ships, yet hath she torn away my oars and masts and left me neither sail nor stern aboard.
How now, Aeneas? Sad? What means these dumps?
I am clean besides myself. Jove hath heaped on me such a desperate charge which neither art nor reason may achieve, nor I devise by what means to contrive.
As how, I pray? May I entreat you tell?
With speed he bids me sail to Italy, whenas I want both rigging for my fleet and also furniture for these my men.
If that be all, then cheer thy drooping looks, for I will furnish thee with such supplies. Let some of those thy followers go with me, and they shall have what things soe'er thou needst.
Thanks, good Iarbas, for thy friendly aid. Achates and the rest shall wait on thee, whilst I rest thankful for this courtesy. Now will I haste unto Lavinian shore, and raise new foundation to old Troy. Witness the gods. Witness, heaven and earth, how loath I am to leave these Libyan bounds, but that eternal Jupiter commands.
I fear I saw Aeneas' little son led by Achates to the Trojan fleet. If it be so, his father means to fly. But here he is. Now, Dido, try thy wit. Aeneas, wherefore go thy men abroad? Why are thy ships new rigged, or to what end, launched from the haven, lie they in the road? Pardon me, though I ask, love, makes me ask?
Oh, pardon me if I resolve thee why. Aeneas will not feign with his dear love. I must from hence. This day, swift Mercury, when I was laying a platform for these walls, sent from his father Jove, appeared to me, and in his name rebuked me bitterly for lingering here, neglecting Italy.
But Aeneas will not leave his love.
I am commanded by immortal Jove to leave this town and pass to Italy, therefore I must, of course.
These words proceed not from Aeneas's heart.
Not from my heart, for I can hardly go. And yet I may not stay. Dido, farewell.
Farewell! Is this the men's for Dido's love? Do Trojans used to quit their lovers thus? Farewell, may Dido, so Aeneas stay. I die if my Aeneas say farewell.
Then let me go and never say farewell. Let me go. Farewell, I must from hence.
These words are poison to poor Dido's soul. O, speaks my Aeneas like my love? Why lookest thou towards the sea? The time hath been when Dido's beauty chained thine eyes to hers. Am I less fair than when thou sawst me first? Oh, then, Aeneas, 'tis for grief of thee. Say thou wilt stay in Carthage with thy queen, and Dido's beauty will return again. Aeneas, say, how canst thou take thy leave? Wilt thou kiss Dido? Oh, thy lips have sworn to stay with Dido. Canst thou take her hand? Thy hand and mine have plighted mutual faith. Therefore, unkind Aeneas, must thou say, then let me go and never say farewell.
Queen of Carthage, Aeneas could not choose but hold thee dear, yet must he not gainsay the gods' behest?
The gods? What gods be those that seek my death? Wherein have I offended Jupiter, that he should take Aeneas from mine arms? Oh, no, the gods weigh not what lovers do. It is Aeneas calls Aeneas hence, and woeful Dido by these blubbered cheeks, by this right hand and bile, our spiles all rights, desires Aeneas to remain with her. Si bene, quid de te merue, fuit aut tibe quodquam dulce meo misere domus lebentis et istam. Oro, si quis ad hoc precubus, locus exue mentum.
Desine meque tuis incendere teque querelis. Italiam non sponte sequo.
Hast thou forgot how many neighbour kings were up in arms for making thee my love? How Carthage did rebel, Iarbas storm, and all the world calls me a second Helen? For being entangled by a stranger's looks, so thou wast prove as true as Paris did. Would as fair Troy was, Carthage might be sacked, and I be called a second Helena. Had I a son by thee, the grief were less, for I might see Aeneas in his face. Now if thou goest, what canst thou leave behind, but rather would augment with ease my woes?
In vain, my love, thou spend'st thy fainting breath. If words might move me, I were overcome.
And wilt thou not be moved with Dido's words? Thy mother was no goddess, perjured man, nor Dandarus the author of thy stock. But thou art sprung from Sicyon Caucasus, and tigers of Hyrcania gave thee suck. Foolish Dido, to forbear this long. Wast thou not wrecked upon this Libyan shore, and camest thou to Dido like a fisher swain? Repaired not I thy ships, made thee a king, and all thy needy followers noblemen? Oh, serpent, that came creeping from the shore, and I for pity harboured in my bosom. Wilt thou not slay me with a venom sting, and hiss at Dido for preserving thee? Go, go, spare not, seek out Italy! I hope that which love forbids me do, the rocks and seagulls will perform at large, and thou shalt perish in the billows' waves, to whom poor Dido doth bequeath revenge. Aye, traitor, and the waves will cast ye up where thou and false Achates first set foot, which, if ye chance, I'll give ye burial and weep upon your lifeless carcasses, though thou nor he will pity me a whit. Why starest thou in my face? If thou wilt stay, leap in mine arms, my arms are open wide. If not, turn from me, and I will turn from thee. For though thou hast the heart to say farewell, I have not the power to stay thee. Is he gone? Aye, but he'll come again. He cannot go. He loves me too well to serve me so. Yet he that in my sight would not relent, will being absent be abjurate still. of this as he got to the waterside. And see, the sailors take him by the hand. But he shrinks back, and now remembering me, returns amain. Welcome! Welcome, my love! But where's Aeneas? Oh, he's gone! He's gone!
What means my sister thus to rave and cry?
Oh, Hannah, my Aeneas is aboard, and leaving me will sail to Italy. Once didst thou go, and he came back again. Now bring him back, and thou shall be a queen, and I will live a private life with him.
Wicked Aeneas.
Call him not wicked, Anna. Sister, speak him fair, and look upon him with a mermaid's eye. Tell him I never vowed at Aulis Gulf the desolation of his native Troy, nor sent 1,000 ships unto the walls, nor ever violated faith to him. Request him gently, Anna, to return. I crave but this, he stay a tide or two, that I may learn to bear it patiently. If he depart thus suddenly, I die. Run, Anna, run! Stay not to answer
me! I go, fair sister. Heavens grant good success.
Oh, Dido, your little son Ascanius is gone. He lay with me last night, and in the morning he was stolen from me. I think some fairies have beguiled me.
Oh, cursed hag and false dissembling wretch! Thou slayest with me this harsh and hellish tale. Thou for some petty gift hast let him go, and I am thus deluded for my boy. Away with her! To prison presently! Traitorous, to kend and cursed sorceress!
I know not what you mean by treason, I am as true as any one of yours!
Away with her! Suffer her not to speak! My sister comes. I like not her sad looks.
Before I came, Aeneas was aboard, and spying me, hoist up the sails, amen. But I cried out, Aeneas! False Aeneas, stay! Then gan he wag his hand, which yet held up made me suppose he would have heard me speak. Then gan they drive into the ocean, which when I viewed, I cried, Aeneas, stay! Dido, fair Dido, wills Aeneas stay. Yet he, whose heart of adamant or flint, my tears nor plaints could mollify or wit. Then carelessly I rent my hair for grief, which seemed to all, though he behold me not, they gan to move him to redress my ruth, and stay a while to hear what I could say. But he, clapped under hatches, sailed away.
Oh, Anna, Anna, I will follow him.
How can you go when he hath all your fleet?
I'll frame me wings of wax like Icarus, and o'er his ships will soar into the sun, that they may melt and I fall in his arms. Or else I'll make a prayer unto the waves, that I may swim to him like Triton's niece. Oh, Anna, Anna, fetch Orion's harp, that I may tice a dolphin to the shore and ride upon his back unto my love. Look, sister, look, lovely Aeneas' ship. See the billows heave him up to heaven, and now down falls and keels to the deep. Oh, sister, take away the rocks, they'll break his ships. Oh, Proteus, Neptune, Jove, save Aeneas, Dido's lifeless love. Now is he come to shore, safe without hurt. But see, Achates wills him put to sea, and all the sailors merry make for joy. But he, remembering me, shrinks back again. See where he comes. Welcome, welcome, my love!
Oh, sister, leave these idle fantasies. Sweet sister, cease. Remember who you are.
Dido I am. Unless I be deceived. And must I rave thus for a renegade? Must I make ships for him to sail away? Nothing can bear me to him but a ship, and he hath all my fleet. What shall I do? But die in fury for this oversight. I must be the murderer of myself. No, but I am not. Yet I will be straight. Anna, be glad. Now have I found a means to rid me from these thoughts of lunacy. Not far from hence, there is a woman famoused for arts, daughter unto the nymphs Hesephrodes, who willed me sacrifices, ticing relics. Go, Anna. Bid my servants bring me fire.
How long, Dido, mourn a stranger's flight, that hath dishonoured her and Carthage both? How long shall I with grief consume my days, and reap no guerdon for my truest love?
Iarbas, talk not of Aeneas, let him go. Lay to thy hands, and help me make a fire that shall consume all that this stranger left, for I intend a private sacrifice to cure my mind that melts for unkind love.
But afterwards, will Dido grant me love?
Aye, Iarbas. After this is done, none in the world shall have my love but thou. So leave me now. Let none approach this place. Now, Dido, with these relics burn thyself and make Aeneas famous through the world for perjury and slaughter of a queen. Here lie the sword that on the darksome cave he drew and swore by to be true to me. Thou shalt burn first. Thy crime is worse than his. Here lie the garment which I clothed him in when first he came to shore. Oh, perish thou too! These letters, lines, and perjured papers all shall burn to cinders in this precious flame. And now, ye gods that guide the starry frame and order all things at your high dispose, grant thou the traitor's land in Italy that may be still tormented with unrest, and for mine ashes let a conqueror rise that may revenge this treason to a queen by ploughing up his countries with the sword. Betwixt this land and this be never leagued. Libertura, libertoris controra, fructibus undus, imprecor arma armis, pungent ipisce nepetus. Live. False Aeneas, truest Dido dies. Seek uvat ire sub umbra!
Dido in these flames hath burnt herself. Ay me, unhappy me.
Cursed Iarbas, die to expiate the grief that tires upon thine inward soul. Dido, I come to thee. Oh, I me, Aeneas!
What can my tears or cries prevail me now? Dido is dead. Iarbas slain, Iarbas, my dear love. Oh, sweet Iarbas, Anna's sole delight. What fatal destiny envies me thus to see my sweet Iarbas slay himself? But Anna now shall honour thee in death. And mix her blood with thine, this shall I do, that gods and men may pity this my death, and rue our end, senseless of life or breath. Now, sweet Iarbas, stay. I come to thee.
This spoilers episode was hosted and produced by myself, Robert Crichton, for the Beyond podcast. Follow us on social media at Beyond Shakes Visit our website at beyondshakespeare.org or support our work by becoming a patron at patreon.com/beyondshakespeare. Links are in the show description. Goodbye.